How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope everybody had a fabulous weekend. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Fabulous weekend, eh?
Well, I hope they did.
I do, too. I hope they did. I hope Green Bay Packers fans aren't too mad today also.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. Let's let Baker Mayfield waltz in there, throw for 381 yards, four touchdowns, and a perfect passer rating. It's great stuff.
My really gosh, is that right?
Yeah, that's what he did.
You going to blame that on LaFleur tour?
Yeah, I am.
Well, he doesn't coach the defense.
Is he the head coach or is he not?
Yeah, I suppose. Okay. All right. Worst coach ever.
Just checking.
Okay. How's Nick doing?
Nick, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm good. My back's a little sore from pushing kids around at the Preds skate last night with the Preds Foundation, but it was a good weekend.
Very nice.
I thought you were going to say your back's a little sore from doing your show while lounging on your bed Saturday.
I mean, maybe that too, but.
Got to get those pillows just right.
Get the video streaming, watching the Riddle and the Reporter on Saturday. Keezer's just doing it live from his bed. It's awesome. Way to go, buddy. That's what I'm talking about.
Little eggnog.
A little
muting.
Did you mute yourself?
No, I'm just. Before
he gets on the microphone.
I had to before do that from home because it was a family event and.
That's good.
Christmas things and everything, so. But yeah, Riddle and the Reporter was remote this weekend. So.
Pajama party? Family pajama party?
No, I was fully. Okay. I was clothed.
You were fully clothed? Oh,
that's good.
I was wearing a polo.
That's good.
I'm okay.
Good. Glad you followed the YouTube rules there. It's good stuff.
I'm glad somebody was watching me this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You guys do a great job. I logged on. I was like, wow, keys is from the bed. I like it. Way to go. Attaboy. We got a lot to get to on the Titans front today. I would say what a game yesterday, Joe, because it went to overtime and went to the final stretches of overtime where a tie was in question for a long time. But I don't know that what a game is what I would use to describe that. It was kind of a slog fest out there between the Titans and the Texans yesterday. The Titans have a 13-0 lead at one point, a solid pick six from Elijah Molden on a ball that was basically hand-delivered by Case Keenum. And I thought to myself, all right, Titans are off and running and looks like they're going to win another game here and get to 6-8, and this could be fun coming down the stretch. And then they just totally fall apart offensively. They can't get anything done. They can't block a soul yesterday, which we'll get into in here in just a few minutes. And they lose in overtime 19-16 to Case Keenum and the Houston Texans. What did you make of that one yesterday at Nissan Stadium?
Yeah, that's I don't want to say that's an all-timer. But that's, I guess that's kind of the risk if you're going to do this. You know, even when we found out they were going to do the Oilers uniforms for the Texans game, it's like that's one you definitely want to win. And, you know, the thing is, as the season unfolded, if you were looking at that weekend, which was always going to be a good weekend, and there were the festivities stand alone, I'll say that, but you kind of figured, well, it's not going to go well. But then they lose C.J. Stroud, and then they lose George Fant, who the Titans could have signed, by the way. And Will Anderson's not there, and Tank Dell's not there, and who's their top receiver, who I'm forgetting? You know, Nico Collins, heck of a player this year. And And then you're in position to almost run away with the game at one point, and to blow that one, ooh, that's a big oof of a loss.
Yeah, there's no question. And like you said, so many key guys out for the Texans, and you still can't find a way to get anything done, especially offensively, in the second half there. And, you know, look, Case Keenum, first off, extremely disappointed that we didn't see our guy Davis Mills other than one play when he got in there to throw a Hail Mary and got sacked. But Case Keenum gets the start. When you're on your third quarterback, or I guess he's their second quarterback if they felt more comfortable going with him than they did Davis Mills in that game. But it was a game from an injury standpoint that set up for the Titans to win, and it's very disappointing that they could not get more done than they did. I mean, you look at on the ground, as a team, 30 carries, 66 yards. That's an astounding 2.2 yards per carry for the Titans yesterday. Derrick Henry, 16 carries for 9 yards. He averaged 0.6 yards per carry. I'm sure it's probably happened, but I don't recall seeing a stat line like that from Derrick Henry before in his career. I'm sure it's happened, but I don't recall it.
It has not happened since he's become the starting running back in 2018. He's never had single digits in rushing yards. Also, and I just retweeted this, okay, Josh Dubow from AP, good follow, at Josh Dubow AP. He always has – he comes with a lot of stats. Listen to this one. Fewest yards from scrimmage gained for a player with 20-plus touches. So Derrick Henry had 4 catches to go with 16, right?
Yep.
20-plus touches in a game since 1948. Derrick Henry, 10 yards on 20 touches today. Eddie Price on November 4th, 1951 against the New York Yanks, 15 yards on 20 touches. And Floyd Little, I have heard of him, on November 26, 1972 against the Falcons, 21 yards on 20 touches.
Yeah.
So we're talking like
historic.
Pre-war?
Yeah.
I mean, that's astounding. And, you know, just and of course, when you also add in the fact that 4 of the last 5 times he faced the Texans, he had 200 plus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, for the Houston football fan, a very gratifying day, you know, of sort of getting some, getting the city of Nashville back a little bit on some things.
Yeah, no question about that. And, you know, Henry could never get anything going yesterday. Some of that, I thought there were a couple of times where he probably could have broke off a run or two that he didn't. And then the other times, I mean, he's just getting smacked right in the face as soon as he gets the ball from Will Levis, and there's no chance on the play whatsoever. So he ends up 16 carries, 9 yards, like you said, 4 receptions for Derrick Henry for 1 yard yesterday. So not very good from Derrick Henry in this Titans offense. I mean, the thing is, we actually had a Treylon Burks sighting yesterday, 3 catches for 62 yards on 3 targets, and there was a pretty bad interception that Will Levis threw that Treylon Burks is wide open down the field. Like, I thought yesterday was a pretty encouraging day from Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
And if you would have told me that heading into the game, I would have thought the Titans would have been in great shape offensively. And instead, 16 points, 13 of which came in the first half. And by the way, 1 defensive touchdown. So you scored 1 offensive touchdown, and that was basically all she wrote from the Titans on the offensive side of the ball yesterday.
I mean, the Titans had 204 net yards in 70 minutes of football. Not 60, in 70 minutes of football. And, you know, 83 of those came right away. So let me do some math for you. So that means you had 121 yards in the last 65 minutes of football.
Not very good.
Just an absolute, just an atrocity of football, you know. And I'm with you. I mean, with Derrick Henry, to me, without having gone through every carry, I would say, yeah, there were a couple where he had a little bit of room, and it's happened this year where it's like, man, usually he breaks that tackle and then he gets at least, you know, whatever, 10 more yards or something, you know, who knows, gets going downhill, gets to that third level, and who knows what may happen. There were a couple plays where I thought he could have done more with it, maybe 3, but I don't even know if it was 3. I'd say maybe a couple. And then you probably about 13, 14 carries where here's the ball, here's 3 guys in your face. Enjoy the ground. And, you know, by the way, some of those Texans guys were a little extra with him, I thought, too. You know, Derek Barnett coming in there, giving him some Maybe a little anger over what Alabama did to Tennessee when Derek Barnett was in college and Derrick Henry was on the other side. Also, who else who came in and Malik Collins, yeah, too, one time. I was like, calm down, guys. But, hey, especially for any of those guys, there aren't many of them, and Barnett's not one of them. But any of those guys who have been around for the Texans just being his personal playland, sure, that was enjoyable. Again, for the Texans fan, very enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
All of it.
No question about that. And I think the story of kind of what sums up the Titans offensively yesterday, yes, is Derrick Henry and all those numbers. But we know what a connection there has been between Hopkins and Levis. And Hopkins, 2 catches for 21 yards yesterday on 9 targets. 9 targets for Hopkins. They connected twice. I thought Stingley was outstanding for the Texans yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. Now, there were still some plays to be made, and there was a couple where you're just a little bit off.
Yep.
You know, and they both kind of talked about it afterward. There's one that Hopkins has to catch. You know, like there was that crosser, which, you know, that's another hospital ball. But you could have, you know, it hit him, and he's kind of – it's a weird play. There were a lot of, like, weird plays. I think that's a word that Levis even used, I believe,
yep,
afterwards. So, but, yeah, Stingley's really good. Look, man, in 1 year, what they've done with that defense. And Steven Nelson did a lot of good things, too. I mean, in 1 year, what D'Amico Ryans has done with that defense is awfully impressive. And Will Anderson has been one of the best rookies in the NFL this year, along with C.J. Stroud, and he didn't play. So, a couple weeks from now, when Stroud and Will Anderson and those guys are back, enjoy.
Just go ahead and you've already made them mad. Just go ahead and wear those Oilers jerseys down there again. Just say, hey, I'm coming back down there.
Well, yeah, I put in Jonathan Greenard's quote in my Athletic column, and he was like, "Are they going to wear the whites when they come down?" He's, he had a good quote.
By the way, the AFC South after yesterday, the Jags lose. They're at 8-6. They're still technically in first place in the division, but 8-6. Colts at 8-6 after this weekend. Texans at 8-6. And then there's the Titans, who were officially, by the way, we haven't mentioned this, so I guess we should, officially eliminated from playoff contention,
yes,
yesterday.
Officially eliminated from playoff contention. Also, officially last place. Now, they could, in theory, they could tie for last. So I wrote it like they're all but cemented for last place. But, I mean, that's the best they can do is tie. If one of those teams were to lose out and the Titans were to win out, then they could tie for last. But obviously that's not going to happen. They're out of the playoffs. They're going to finish in last. And that's the thing. If they win yesterday, and, you know, I mean, Derrick Henry talked about it. Like, hey, they knew it was just a glimmer of hope. But still, that helps. You know, that keeps you going a little bit. Now it's officially over.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. Titans fall to the Texans 19-16 in overtime yesterday. We'll take your thoughts on the game. 615-737-1025 is our number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. They lose 19-16 in overtime to the Houston Texans yesterday. Fall to 5-9 on the year, officially eliminated from playoff contention. And what an abysmal day it was offensively. You know, we've gone over the rushing numbers, the receiving numbers yesterday. Just not a whole lot going on out there. And I'm just going to go ahead and get to it. I was thinking about this yesterday as I'm watching all this go down, and in the aftermath of it, and realizing that, you know, it's a different situation because the general manager is in his first year. But I did think to myself, like, think about, like, if this was any other situation than what it is right now, which is a new general manager coming in, and the Titans offensive line and how bad it is like a fireable offense. It's a fireable offense how bad that offensive line is, which, by the way, I have no idea what Will Levis' status is going to be for this week. For a second, it looked bad. Like, I thought that Will Levis might be done for the year at the end of that game yesterday. Now, he hobbled off the field, and he was up at his press conference yesterday. And Joe, you tell me, you were there. I mean, he made it sound like it looked a whole lot worse than it actually was. But, you know, I read your column last night, and he's limping out of there after the press conference is done. So, you've gotten Tannehill hurt with this garbage offensive line. Will Levis has been running for his life ever since they put him in there, and you get him hurt yesterday, and hopefully he's okay as they move forward here. But the offensive line is just an absolute train wreck. He got sacked 7 times yesterday and got hit 11 quarterback hits. And unfortunately, you know, the sack total has kind of gone up and down. Some weeks it's been 2. Some weeks it's been 5. Some weeks it's been 7. Quarterback hits have been pretty consistent. He's getting hit like double digits every game. It's atrocious what they're trotting out there with the offensive line.
Yeah, and again, I don't know the updated like pressure stats, but the deeper pressure stats are like were historic not long ago. I can't imagine yesterday didn't add to that. So it's really bad. As far as Levis, yeah, obviously if it was – I mean, if they immediately knew there was structural damage, he would have been – he would have been out of there. He would have been taking a locker room. But I mean, that doesn't mean that there isn't some kind of a sprain or something like that. He definitely was limping out of the press conference. He even said, you know, there's adrenaline and all that stuff that has to wear off, and so today they'll check it out, maybe some swelling. I mean, look, if I'm the Titans right now, I've seen enough from him easily to know, like, you know, that he's who you're riding with next year, and I'd be real hesitant to put him back out there. I mean, like there's no way this week he's going to be all great 100%, right? I mean, even if it's like a I'm talking knee. I don't know that it's knee. It could be ankle. That is possible. You look at the replay and you think more knee, right? But yep. Regardless, whatever it is, it's not going to be 100%. So why would you even mess around and put him out there against Seattle? So I mean, maybe you get to the finale and he's all great and it's like, okay, but I mean, I would really consider right now just shutting him down. Whether you say it out loud to anybody or not, when you have internal conversations, Vrabel, Carthon, Tim Kelly, whoever, I'd really think about shutting him down. This line is an atrocity. I keep using the word atrocity, which is probably a little bit too heavy of a word for sports, but it is a football embarrassment.
It is. It's absolutely – it's insanely bad. And, look, we can go through the fact that, you know, they've lost Chris Hubbard and, you know, Andre Dillard didn't work out, so they got Jalen Duncan out there, and Jalen Duncan's trying, but Jalen Duncan's not good. I mean, Jalen Duncan, hopefully at some point you can develop into – maybe a solid swing tackle for you. But Jalen Duncan right now is clearly a liability over there at left tackle. And look, quite frankly, Peter Skoronski's not very good right now. Like, he's getting blown up yesterday. And I'm not an offensive line guru. I don't know how much of his struggles have to do with what's going on to the left and to the right of him right now. I have no idea. But it's been, from the untrained eye, pretty disappointing to watch what Skoronski's done the last couple of weeks, and yesterday especially, I thought he was pretty bad.
No, he got absolutely – he got dominated too often yesterday, without question, on some key plays. And then Duncan also. But the huge difference there is Duncan, is he trying to prove he can be a swing tackle next year where he was picked? Fine.
Right.
That's – you know what? He's answered the bell, and he's been in there, and he's had some good moments. Skoronski's had some good moments too, but he's the first-round pick, the number 11 pick.
Exactly.
And he did not look like the number 11 pick yesterday. This late in the season, when you really need a guy like that to stand out and to be your best offensive lineman, he was not at all. And I saw a Mike Herndon tweet, which I agree with. It's like, sure hope Skoronski has like some hidden injury you don't know about, because – I mean, he just had some terrible pass pro reps. Missing twists and stuff like that. I mean, there's some rookie element to that, you know, but just straight up getting steamrolled, it's not great. I mean, again, you're taking a guy at number 11. If he's playing guard, he's got to be great. So that goes into a lot of this offensive line issue. You talk about Carthon predates him, you know. I mean, even like Petit Frere, who's hurt, but, I mean, that may end up being a bad pick. Raidens, yeah, et cetera. I mean, Brewer – I mean, basically, though, the left side is him and Vrabel, because they have to be counted together, because they won't tell anybody who does this or that, so exactly. They're just counted together. So Dillard and Skoronski was your choice for the left side, and didn't quite work out, especially at left tackle. Yesterday was a Scary day at left guard.
Scary day at left guard. Scary day. It's been a scary season at left tackle. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. But, like, that's what this is going to come down to me. They got to get this fixed this offseason, or they're both going to be out next year. Like, that's what it is. Like, you have to get the offensive line fixed. And it's been so bad this year that it's amazing to me that Levis has made it as long as he has with that offensive line. He's just under duress every play. He's getting hit double-digit times per game. Good for him and his toughness. Like, he's obviously put that on display. But, like, if Vrabel and Carthon don't get that fixed this offseason, they're both out of here next year. Like, it's that bad. Like, you've got to get this offensive line fixed. And, you know, you can talk about drafting a left tackle, and hopefully you draft one that's an all-pro for you for the next 10, 12 years. But even beyond that, like, you've got to get the offensive line to a point where it is the worst offensive line in football, and I'm not sure it's particularly close right now. And that, if that doesn't get changed, is fireable in its own right for them moving into next year.
And what's kind of weird is they've had some very good running days with it. Like, I've kind of looked at this offensive line like, well, a terrible pass blocking line, like, as bad as it gets. But they've had some very good days running the football. Different matchups, and I know, like, again, D'Amico Ryans, credit to him, has done a great job. They're much more stout than they've been for years, but still, like, how are you that bad yesterday? I guess this is where you can go Tim Kelly, or, you know, you can go play calling too, and it wasn't good. He went to the first down Derrick Henry run way too often, but, like, in whatever they tried to do to run the football, I mean, like, no one could block anyone.
Yeah. It was just atrocious yesterday. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dustin. Dustin, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. Bear with me. I was at the game yesterday, and about lost my voice before the second half. Yelling, fire that OC, clean his desk out, before the game's over. I'm going to read a text that I sent, so bear with me. My predicted text sucks. The problem is a predictive play calling on first down. We played three downs and 13 yards when we let Levis throw. I said it 15 times to the crowd on first down. Oh, let me guess. Henry up the middle. It's amazing what Levis does with this predictable OC. Henry's fine, but this line doesn't compliment him right now. Spears hits holes faster. Henry is your third down and goal line back. We were putting our rookie quarterback in a hole to dig out of every series. It's freaking nuts. Then, finally, you lose the lead. Then you start to use Spears. Then you let Levis throw. Then you open the playbook then. After you gave those players no reps, ice cold, if the OC isn't fired, it's because Levis bails him out of bad play calling. Spears is the future. It's his torch to carry. Use Henry right. The OC has to go. Guys, It's just nuts to me. Like, we went from Monday night, Spears getting the ball, you know, thrown to him. You know, he didn't do great running, but he's effective. And I'm wearing my Henry jersey at the game. Henry's probably more – him and Byers, my favorite Titans. But, dude, Henry's fine. But with this line, you can't run him like you used to on first down every time. You know, it's been 2 years like this. You've got to get the speed to hit the line. You've got to change it up. And you can't let the play take forever to develop. And I know Levis is holding the ball. He's still a rookie. But people are saying they're running Henry to protect Levis. You're running Henry. You're starting Levis throwing with 13 to 17 yards on second down and third down. That's not protecting our quarterback. That's like, bail me out, dog. Let's go.
Thanks for the call, Dustin. Appreciate you, buddy. Well, I mean, there's a lot from that call. But the problem is, I hear what he's saying, and I agree with some of it. Problem is, though, let's say they say, you know what, we're going to start dropping back on first down and throwing Levis. You have any confidence whatsoever that you can protect him long enough to do anything on first down right now? I don't.
No. No. I think yesterday there were probably two or three first down runs of Derrick Henry too many, where it's like, just try something else.
I agree.
And, like, the wildcat to him was like, let's stand here forever and then show everybody you're doing the wildcat, and then just you've got no chance of that either. Like, so So I do think yesterday was definitely an example of Tim Kelly just doing it too much. But you're right. They did try some different things at times, and like they just nothing worked. And he got hit so much, you know. He missed some plays for sure, like LD's asking about, you know, decision-making. Yeah, I mean, I think that your decision-making is affected when you know you can't be protected. But you hope he does hit Burks on that TD pass, and the game probably ends up different in the end, you know. But ultimately, your hands are so tied by that offensive line.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, their loss to the Texans yesterday in overtime. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Talk about this inefficiency offense. Were you able to get a read why the rushing game was so inefficient today?
No, I mean, I just think that, you know, we know how critical it is to get these runs started. You know, give them credit. You know, being able to, you know, split us on some of the combinations or, you know, not be able to get there on a second level. I think every time, you know, you just probably go back and look at it. It's going to be, you know, one guy here or, you know, a block there, you know, a cut. And it was just, you know, not a very good day for us.
That was Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday. I would have to agree with him. Not a very good day running the football from the Tennessee Titans yesterday. But I said it there. I said it to you off the air earlier, Joe. You leave the cowboy hat on all game, maybe it turns out to be a different game for the Titans yesterday. Looked good in the pregame.
I tell you what. Yeah. I don't want Vrabel to not get his credit for wearing the cowboy hat.
I agree.
I mean, we need to give him his credit for wearing the cowboy hat. Good for him. Because, look, you knew. Like, if you're Mike Vrabel, you didn't know you're going to win yesterday. So you knew that if you wore that hat, you would be the subject of a million memes you lost. And he is, I'm sure. But good for him for wearing the hat. And plus, if they would have won, his little bow and arrow celebration after a run, which is bizarre but awesome.
It was great. Would
have been, yeah, we would have had a lot of fun with that today. But instead, look what happened. By the way, right behind you, I got all these highlights of Tua just throwing darts all over the field. Tyreek Hill play yesterday?
No, he did not.
How'd Tua do?
Did pretty well.
You're pretty dominant. And dominated the. How good are the Jets? What's the Jets defense in the NFL? Number what?
I think it's number one, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Just wondering. Anyway.
How'd Sam Darnold do yesterday? I don't think he played, did he?
He actually did come in and hand off.
That's good.
And Gentry admitted to me that he does agree with Jared about Tua and Darnold. So we got some hot takers.
It's always
this
good
town,
company to
my
be
friend.
In.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well. It's your bed that you made. You know, this is a question on the text line with an unnamed texter. I do want to get to it real fast because we have talked about it. We will talk about it more. Trust me. But just real quick, are there any examples of a team successfully revamping an O-line after one season? Yes. In fact, the last time the Tennessee Titans were out of the playoffs this early, were this bad, they had maybe the worst offensive line in the NFL. Now, they also had a key piece that you hoped would find a way and stay healthy and figure it all out. And this team does not. Well, I guess you could say this team has Skoronski, right? The hopes are very high for him, you know, long term. But that Tennessee Titans team in 2016, John Robinson comes in. They sign Ben Jones. They draft Jack Conklin number 8, which, of course, they moved the one pick. Then they move back up to get Conklin. Luan becomes great. All of a sudden, that is why they went from 2 wins to 9 wins, and we're right there to win the division at the end because they totally revamped their offensive line in one offseason. So part of the answer next year is going to be Skoronski showing why he was a number 11 overall pick in a draft.
Yes, which yesterday he did not do. It was very bad from him yesterday. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jaden. Jaden, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Hey, guys. So I just want to say, if Levis can't go next week, and honestly, in my opinion, I don't want to see him the rest of the year just because of how atrocious the offensive line is. If he's your guy, you need to save him for next season, get him into the offseason, get him healthy and all that. But if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I do not want to go in considering how bad that offensive line is. I mean, any quarterback, I wouldn't want to go into that situation. But right now, I don't think if Rand and Vrabel were to get fired today, I think he'd be pretty upset about it. But if we go into next year after the offseason, after the draft, and nothing has changed on the offensive line, then I would completely understand to see Aran and Vrabel fired. Changes have to be made. I mean, like you said, Robbie, this is the most atrocious offensive line I think I've ever seen in the NFL. So I'll leave it at that. I appreciate your talk.
Yep, thanks for the call, Jade. Well, look, changes are going to be made on the offensive line. Are the right changes going to be made? That's what it comes down to. Like, they're going to address the offensive line. They're going to address left tackle. I would not be surprised if they addressed right tackle. I wouldn't be surprised if they addressed center. Like, they're going to make some changes to the offensive line. Is it going to be the right ones? Like, you got to make the right decision. It's critical. Like, that's what this next little bit of the tenure for those guys is going to come down to. What are the choices you make on the offensive line? And can you give your quarterback a shot back there? Because as impressive for the most part as I think Levis has been, even though there have been some decisions, including another one yesterday on that interception that you just can't have. But for the most part, as impressive as he's been, I think it makes it even more impressive that he's been able to do it in the face of that offensive line. And it does make you wonder, what does it look like if you can fix it? But look, they're going to address it. How much confidence do you have that they address it properly? I don't know, because they both addressed it this last offseason, and this is what you're stuck with. So, I don't know. That's going to define what next season's team is the decisions they make on the offensive line.
Yeah. And again, I mean, like Devin from Dover, I'm sorry, but Skronsky is a bust. I'd pump the brakes there. Some people love, like, busts like three games into a rookie season, you know. It's a little early for that, but that's a big part of it, is that Skronsky is not that. That Skronsky's really good, because you could have gone a lot of different ways when you drafted Peter Skronsky, and you've been completely unwilling to try him at left tackle, where he was great in college. That happens. I get it. But then he's got to be great at guard. So that's part of it. And without question, you have to find the left tackle. This is where, now that it's officially over for the playoffs, now that you're officially the last place Tennessee Titans of 2023, this is where, you know, you could start Malik Willis for a few games, mm-hmm. and give him a chance to work on his game a little bit and audition for whatever may be next year. Maybe he's with the Titans as a backup. Maybe he's trying to get a job somewhere else, and that would be a bit of a fank.
What'd you make of what Jaden said about Tannehill? Or you're just like, yeah, no thanks, man. I'm not going in. You just give it to Malik.
Well, Tannehill, I don't think he would do that.
I don't think he would do that. I think it would make some business sense for him to do that, but I don't think he would do it.
He wouldn't do it. Would it hurt him if he did it? With another. I don't know. I don't think he would do it. And the thing about it is,
Mike, just go ahead and put Malik in.
Yeah,
I'll be over here.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't think Vrabel would do it too either.
If you need me to hold, I'll be over here.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, and you know, Nick Folk misses an extra point yesterday. Yep. I don't really know what happened on the extra point, and I did not get around to asking Nick Folk. I don't know if somebody else did, and it was written about. I didn't get to him, but he missed an extra point. So that's two games where, if he makes an extra point, in theory, you don't know how this one ends up. It was so early in the game, but in theory, you could be 7-7 and right in the thick and still right there to win the division with two extra points that you missed.
Yep.
So even in a year where it's like, wow, they found a kicker and he's bombing these 50 yards, even then.
Time to run him out.
Now, the first missed extra point was definitely not on him, because I just thought of it because of Tannehill.
Right.
But pretty amazing that it comes down to that. The margins are very, very slim in the NFL. There's no doubt. But as far as quarterback, I don't think Vrabel would do that. I think that Vrabel, because there are guys – who are out there spilling their guts for this team and for themselves, for their teammates, to try to win every week, and to then say, all right, guys, let's put everything into this week of trying to win, which is what they're going to do three more times starting this week, and then say, and Malik's starting. I don't think he would do it.
I don't think he would either. But I do think I'm with you from the standpoint of, especially this week, like if Levis gets to the point where he's healthy enough and has his full mobility, I'd still trot him back out there. That's just me.
This week?
No, I'm saying for the rest of this season.
So like,
so you hate Will Levis. This is a UT fan but like, hating Will Levis. No, but like, you want him hurt.
This goes back to the same conversation we have. Like, you know, Jared's whole argument to not put him in was you're going to ruin him. Like, well, put him out there and let it play because I think there's value in letting him play. Now, having said that, especially this week, like if he can't move to the full extent that he needs to move and protect himself, then you can't put him out there. Like, I think you're doing him a major disservice if you're the Titans. And he's going to want to play. Like, we know that about him. Like, he's going to want to be out there.
He continues to go out there and get helicoptered.
Right.
You know,
even if he's not at 100%. But, like, if you're the Titans, especially now that you're officially eliminated from the playoffs, which I know to a lot of Titans fans is just an absolute joke because it feels like they've been eliminated from playoffs since week five. But you have to be smart with this if you're Vrabel and the Titans and handle your most valuable asset moving forward the proper way this week. And I'm interested to see if that's the way they choose to do it.
Yeah, like I can't imagine he would play Sunday against Seattle. I think it'll be Ryan Tannehill. So, Tannehill, Henry, maybe, you know.
One last
hurrah. Well, maybe a couple. Maybe a couple more games at home because I say shut Levis down. Just shut him down. In a six-day span, you saw him pull off an incredible comeback with two fantastic drives, look like everything you want in a quarterback. And then, again, 6 days later, you saw his leg buckled under him in a horribly unnatural way, and it's enough. It's just, this offensive line is hazardous to the health of anyone who dares line up behind it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans and the Texans at Nissan Stadium yesterday coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyes are here with you on this Monday morning. Titans fall 19-16 in overtime against the Houston Texans yesterday, dropped to 5-9 on the season, and are officially eliminated from playoff contention. We've talked about the Levis part of this. We'll see what his status looks like this week. Did not look great yesterday, but apparently, according to him, a little bit scarier than it actually ended up being. So we'll see on that front. But this, I totally understand where you're coming from of like shutting him down. And I'm not saying that that's a bad idea at all. I would still, the selfish side of me wants to see him play a little bit more this year.
Just but watch it, another team.
Well, I may have to.
Just Packers are in the hunt.
Are they
out?
Nah, they're still in the hunt, but it's brutal.
Sorry to keep bringing them up.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, I do wonder, like, if you're Vrabel and Carthon, does the fact that you're actually eliminated now, does that change the way you view anything, especially when it comes to Levis and his health? Because it's one thing, like, for us, you know, I feel like the Titans have been eliminated for a long time. But now that they're actually officially mathematically eliminated, I do wonder if that changes the equation at all for Vrabel and Carthon.
Had they won yesterday, they'd be 6-8. It'd still be, you know, the New York Times playoff calculator.
Right.
You know, had them very low. And I think the win out, somebody was saying this yesterday, I think it was maybe David Beauclair, I think the win out was 14 or 15%. But still, 6-8. And you're a game behind the Texans. And even the avoidance of last place. I mean, it does mean something. When you're talking about in this league trying to keep your job and all these things, like 7-10 sounds a lot better than 5-12, right?
Yeah.
But you're still technically alive. I mean, Derrick Henry was talking about it yesterday. You know, a glimmer of hope. They were still holding on to hope that they could go on a run, finally win two games in a row, see what they could do. So, yeah, I think there's a big difference today. Knowing that you're out and just understanding that at this point, of course, you're not going to tell all those guys in the locker room, hey, go out there and, you know, maybe miss a few tackles and, you know, it's all right. I mean, you're still going to try to throw everything into winning if you're the coaches and the players. But there's just no reason to me to try to put that kid in harm's way anymore.
I do have to get to this from Ricky on YouTube.
What you got?
Can someone in this town talk about what a disgrace the blocking is? In the run game and in the passing game, it's an absolute disgrace. Two quarterbacks with broken legs and a Hall of Fame running back hit behind the line over 50% of the time. Joe, can somebody in this town talk about the offensive line
and
what a disgrace the blocking is?
Thank you, Ricky. That's a good idea. I think we should try that. We'll get to that in the next hour.
Thank you, Ricky. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've spent some time discussing the offensive line.
But we probably aren't done, Ricky.
We probably are not.
We'll keep going. speaking of that, we're going to talk O-line. Like someone on Twitter, whatever the hell it is, Twitter, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Threw me this is an interesting, you know, this is always a discussion when a particular group struggles. So good neighbor at D. Jason Oliver sent me just a little snippet of Jason Hotaling's bio, which including three different stints at Wagner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we've talked some about that. He was an internal hire. I think it's weird when you fire an O-line coach and then you just elevate the assistant. If you're going to fire the O-line coach, why are you elevating the assistant? Vrabel said it was
a great interview.
He said it was a great interview. But I'm going to agree with PK here, okay? I want to read this from PK, and I know that he gets enough airtime on this show anyway, but whatever. He says, quote, "I love how many people think a really, really great offensive line coach could turn some of the Titans linemen into fantastic players. I don't know a great deal about Jason Hotaling, but I'm far more concerned about a top flight replacement for Andre Dillard / Jalen Duncan." I really struggled to read that, too, by the way. Sorry. Should have read it in PK voice.
You should have.
What are you talking about, Jason Hotaling? But I tend to, like, this is how I always drift in this league. Coaching's important, no doubt. It is very important. These coaches can look like absolute geniuses when they have good players. Arthur Smith. I got people telling me that the Titans need to fire Tim Kelly and then bring Arthur Smith in because Arthur Smith got fired as Falcons head coach because Arthur Smith was very successful as OC here, very successful. But I'm like, so are you watching Arthur Smith right now with this atrocious Falcons offense that lost 9-7 at Carolina? Is he still a genius?
Right.
Or do you think maybe these coaches and their fortunes have something to do with the guys who are trying to run the plays for him? I know that some people take that as just taking responsibility off the coaches. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm always going, to me, it's not chicken and egg. It's very simple. It is Jimmy's and Joe's.
Well, look, I have no idea how good of a coach or not good of a coach Hotaling is for the Titans offensive line. Like it may have been a disaster of a hire. I have no clue.
I'm sure you can do better.
I'm sure you can. But look at who they got out there right now. How many offensive line coaches are making chicken salad out of that? Like they're terrible on the offensive line. And you've got to make better choices if you're Vrabel and Carthon there moving forward. And look, maybe I'm not saying that you get through the end of this year and you don't reevaluate what you've done. Like they made coaching changes last year, not just with Downing and with Keith Carter, but they shifted a whole bunch of things around with coaches that were already here. Like I think you've seen enough from Levis where you got to be pretty happy with Charles London and the job that he's done coming in here. But I'm not saying like the Titans offensive line has been bad enough this year. I'm not taking anything off the table at the end of the year in terms of evaluating the offensive line coach and what that could look like. Sure, take a look at that, and if you feel like you can upgrade, by all means, go out there and upgrade. But I'm with you that it's hard for me to make a judgment one way or the other on the offensive line coach with how bad that offensive line personnel-wise is. And that goes back to Vrabel and Carthon.
Absolutely. Now, I think it has been the offensive line has – the offensive line play has been bad here for the last few years. It's gone down, right? So is there a thought, you know, like is there some philosophical, you know, change that would help with Tim Kelly's offense or something? Is there someone he might have in mind? You know, I don't know. Again, why am I forgetting? Keith Carter.
Yep.
You know, Keith Carter it's funny because there was a lot of like fire Keith Carter early in 2020 or early in 2019, actually early in 2019, there's a lot of fire Keith Carter, and then for about a couple of years, all of a sudden Keith Carter got really smart. It was amazing how much smarter and how much better he got as an offensive line coach. And then he got dumb again, you know, but
I think when you are this bad overall as a football team, if you're going to win 5-6 games in a year, and you're just so bad on offense for such a long time now, then I think everything should be on the table.
Yeah, I agree. And look, the Tim Kelly part of this, I think there have been some games this year where he's done a nice job. I think there have been some games where, look, I mean, you can go all the way back to week one if you want to. Like, I thought Tim Kelly called a nice game against the Saints in week one, and your quarterback just missed wide open throws. Like, it's not like it's been as simple as Tim Kelly has been a bad offensive coordinator all year. I do think he's had some bad games, and I think he's had some moments where he's been way too predictable. Now, how much of that is the limitations around him with the line? I mean, that's the thing. Like, that offensive line makes everything else so hard to evaluate with this offense right now. Like, I have no idea how much Derrick Henry has left in the tank because he can't ever get going behind this offensive line. We've seen it at times this year where they've run block better than they have in other games. And when you give him some room, he seems like he's still, for the most part, Derrick Henry to me. And then you have games like yesterday where he's just getting hit in the mouth as soon as he gets the ball. And it's like, well, I have no idea how good Derrick Henry still is or isn't.
I mean, we've seen enough games where he did get some space where he looked pretty good. You know, he looked like 85% of, like, peak Derrick Henry, I think, at times this year. Yeah, yesterday was a couple plays where I think old Derrick Henry makes something out of him. And then there's about, 20 touches, lowest number of yards since at least 1948 on 20 touches in an NFL game. Incredible stat. You know, I'd say on 18 of them, 17 of them, there's just no chance.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah, like what do you do with that? 615-737-1025. More on the Titans and the Texans coming up next. What do we make of Will Levis's day trying to throw the football when he was able to stand upright and actually throw the football? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.